Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise, and we are honored to be able to come and worship you today. Father, I pray that you are pleased with our worship. May you be glorified in everything said and done here today. Lord, may we exalt you well and honor you, for you are God, and there is none other. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you today. I know today was a little extra challenge because you lost an hour of sleep, but you're here anyway. Thank God for you. There was a disturbing video that I saw this last week, and it bothered me, and it caused me to, and you know, things don't happen by coincidence. They happen by providence, and I'd already had an understanding wasn't going to be preaching on today. And so seeing the video that I saw was perfect timing for what I saw. There was a so-called church with a so-called minister, and he was wearing his vestments, and he had the stole, which is the thing that looked like a scarf unfolded, and it was rainbow colored. And he said, God is gay, and God is transgender. And then he went on to say, God is you and you are God. So let me address that. You don't get to label God by your sin, and you don't get to claim to be God. And by the way, use scripture to make his case by saying we were made in his image and in his likeness. You don't get to twist scripture to make it say what you want it to say. There's a real problem with that. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't hear what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is that particular sin is worse than other sins in this age and culture, which that is people are super passionate about that. Any sin, you don't get to label God by your sin. Any sin. And any lifestyle, you know, when Adam and Eve were made in his likeness and his image being what he looked like and his likeness what they're like on the inside, when Adam and Eve were made in that image and likeness, after that, they rebelled against God, and then they had another likeness, the likeness of Satan, and that's the problem. And any gospel that does not declare repentance is a false gospel, okay? So just clarify, today we're going to clarify Christianity. And what that is not Christianity at all. And just because it has a steeple on the building, and just because someone's called a minister, if they're not preaching a true gospel, then that's not true Christianity. It's counterfeit Christianity. And it would actually be called corruption, because that was blasphemy. Everybody with me on that? All right, so let's just today try and do a little clarifying of what Christianity truly is. And you'd say, man, I would never go to church like that. Nah. Thankfully, I'm glad that you wouldn't. But you could be a part of another group, and that would be not a counterfeit Christian, but a cultural Christian. You could very well be a part of that one, and it's a very easy group to get in. And what is cultural Christianity? Cultural Christianity would be very easy in Athens, Texas. And it would be one that would say, okay, I was brought up in a Christian culture, in a community that has that kind of goes by Christian standards and principles, and I was brought up in a Christian home. And so in my life, I just kind of merged into traffic. You with me? And so that's just my values, my principles, my standards, my lifestyle. Cultural Christianity looks so much like the real thing. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, except it's just wrong. Because if I'm counting on merging into that culture as my salvation, then I'm going to be deeply disappointed when I stand before God and Jesus says, I don't know you. I don't know you. And so I want to talk about today what is true Christianity. And I already talked about what is false Christianity, just because, and there's a whole bunch of, I just named one. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Let me just point out, there's some things that there are beliefs that are essential to salvation. Let's go ahead and touch on those now. Beliefs that are essential to salvation, they're going to be V's. I'm going to talk about four of them. There's a fifth one that I didn't even bring up in the first service, that it's not essential to salvation, but I believe it. But let's talk about the four. Number one, Jesus was born of a virgin. Virgin birth, okay? Why is that essential to salvation? Because if you don't believe he was born of a virgin, then you believe that he was born of a human, and that would make him not the Son of God. And so virgin birth is absolutely essential to salvation because it is essential to understand Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? Everybody good with that? Haven't made anybody mad yet. All right, so let's keep going. Jesus is the Son of God. If you haven't gotten mad yet, then just hang in there. We might get there. Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. Number two, it's the virtuous life. You must believe. It's essential belief to salvation. You must believe that Jesus lived a virtuous life. So the first one, virgin birth. What does that mean? Son of God. I have a V and an S to go with it. Second one, virtuous life. What does that mean? He was sinless. You have to believe that. Because if you don't believe that, you believe that he's sinful. A sinful man cannot save a sinful man. Everybody with me? So these are essential beliefs. And so just clarifying, this is what true Christianity is. One who believes that Jesus was born a virgin. Number two, that he believes that we believe that he lived a sinless life. Number three, vicarious death. I don't ever use the word vicarious unless I'm talking about Jesus' death. And that is one dying on behalf of another one. And so he died for my sins, not his sins, because he was sinful, sinless. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Sinless. I blasphemed just like the other dude. He was sinless. And so his death was not for his own sins, but for my sins. Everybody with me? Virgin birth, virtuous life, vicarious death. Vicarious death meaning he's a sacrifice, just like the lamb. John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus coming over the hill, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So he's the sacrifice, vicarious death. And then the most exciting one is number four, and that is victorious resurrection. Amen? So victorious resurrection. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That is essential to salvation. And we know that, and we hang on to that, and we get excited about Easter, and Easter's coming. But you have to also believe the other ones too. Virgin birth, virtuous life, vicarious death, victorious resurrection. And I thought, okay, if I got an S to go with the V's on the first three, then I got to come up with an S to go with the last one. And I looked up and Google said there ain't none. But I found one. No, here's the truth. There's a lot of people who have died, and I won't say a lot of people. There's a few people who have died and raised from the dead. A few people. We have one in our church, by the way. Hello, Miss Leslie. And so we have a few people who have died and raised from the dead. But I hate to tell you this, Leslie, you're going to die again someday, and that's going to be final. Long time from now. There are others who rose from the dead, and they died again, and they're still dead. There's only been one who rose from the grave and is still alive. There's my S. There it is. He's still alive. Amen. He's still alive. And that's Jesus. Let's go over those four again. Virgin birth, virtuous life, vicarious death, victorious resurrection. He was the Son of God who was sinless and the perfect sacrifice for sin. And he's still alive again today. Amen. Gotta believe those things. You say, well, what's number five? Number five is his very soon return. And I believe that. If you don't believe that, that's okay. You have a right to be wrong. But that's not an essential belief for salvation. Now, I said these are essential beliefs for salvation. But what I did not say is that those beliefs equal salvation. Did y'all catch that? They do not equal. You can go check, 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 believe all those things and still be lost. Let's talk about soulish salvation. So recognizing that everyone's different, I try to preach on Sundays in a way that I can reach the young and the old and somebody gets something. I always found it funny. Teenagers are so fun and cruel at the same time. And not even trying to be. I remember, you know, we would be in the youth group and have one of the kids pray. And one of them would say, "Lord, let somebody get something out of the message today." It's like, man, am I that bad? Lord, please, God, it had to be an act of God for anybody to get anything out of this message today. But so I try and preach in such a way that I put the cookies on the bottom shelf. I want everybody to be able to reach them. So we are wired in different ways. Some people are wired intellectually. They want a word that stimulates their intellect. They want to learn a new thing. They want me to come up here and teach, and they get really excited when I go deep into teaching. That's an intellectual. An intellectual can say check, 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 check to all four of the things that I just mentioned, and still that does not equal salvation. Maybe you're wired differently and you're more emotional, and I can get you emotionally stirred by telling you some puppy dog stories and little babies and all that kind of stuff. And you just want to feel something. An intellectual wants to learn something. An emotional wants to feel something. Want to feel something. I don't feel like I've been to church. I don't feel like I've worshiped until I felt something. And so that means that you're making an emotional decision if you come and you emotionally said, you know, I want to receive Jesus. And we're going to clarify all of this. Maybe you're one that wants to do something. You see, you are a three-part person, body, soul, spirit. Body has the five senses, touch, taste, smell, sight, sound. The soul is a three-part soul, and you have intellect, you have emotion, and you have volition, you have will. Okay? But then spiritually, the spirit, the body's the center of of world consciousness. The soul is the center of self-consciousness. The spirit is the center of God consciousness. And this is dead until born again. Everybody with me? It is dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. Trespasses. I'm going where I'm not supposed to go, and I'm not going where I am supposed to go, and I'm living in sin, spiritually dead. You weren't born physically. You may have been born into a Christian family, but you weren't born a Christian. Everybody with me? And if you're intellectual, I hope you learned that. If you're emotional, I hope you felt that. But you weren't born a Christian, okay? Soulishly, you may have made an intellectual decision of, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was born a virgin, virtuous life, vicarious death. Emotionally, man, I feel like something happened. Or volitionally, this would be a moral Christian. This is one who says, I do the right things. I don't do the wrong things. All of those things are good. Y'all with me? They just don't equal salvation. Everybody tracking? So what equals salvation is, number one, revelation. I have need to hear from God himself. And then number two, repentance. I need to hear from God when I'm trying to witness to a child, or someone brings a child to me and says, they're ready to get baptized. I ask them, I want to get baptized. What does that mean? I don't know, but I want to get baptized. I want to go in the tank. And so I begin to question them about what salvation is. And if it's all fun and games to them, they're not there yet. They're not ready yet. And so the last thing I want to do is lead someone into believing that they're saved and when they're not saved. And so, Yancey, you're right. This is a spitting section right here. That's why no one's sitting. I'm spitting all over the place. So I want to know that if revelation has happened, someone is going to be sorrowful for sinfulness. Are you with me? There's going to be you can't get saved until you first know you're lost. That's how this works. And that comes through revelation. God has to show you yourself. And so I can't get up here. I give you truth. I give you the word. I'll give you facts, but God has to turn the lights on for you. Amen. Let's stop and pray for a moment. God, I pray for those who are in the room who they may be cultural Christians. They may be living out Christian standards, principles. But there's not yet been that transformation of being born again. We recognize the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. We recognize that the enemy, Satan, wants to pull a veil of darkness over our minds, our understanding. And so, Lord, we just take the authority that you have granted us through Jesus Christ and command that garbage to go. And that you would remove that veil of darkness from our understanding, that we would see clearly the truth of your scriptures. And Lord, I'm going to do my best to preach truth, but Lord, I know that it requires you turning the lights on in someone's understanding. And so, Lord, I pray that you will in this moment. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as revelation comes, as God reveals truth to us, by the way, all revelation is in alignment with this truth, okay? So as that revelation comes and I realize I'm lost. I even being a cultural Christian, I'm still not a converted Christian. We had a lady, I may have mentioned her recently, she just passed away last month, and she was the music minister's wife at this church a long time ago. And at 80 years old, she'd come to Christ. I would go to her house once a week. She'd call me up distressed and distraught, and I would come to her house, and she just didn't know what was wrong with her, and she was so troubled inside, and it's because she's lost. She was a part of the church. She was the music minister's wife, church every time the doors were open, but she had not yet been born again. At 80 years old, she gets saved, transformed. And I got to baptize her at 80 years old. And she said, I've been reading this Bible my whole life, but now it makes sense. Yeah, because it's a spiritual book, and you had to be spiritually born again before you can understand it. And so knowing those things, we have to have God turn the lights on to help us to understand, hey, buddy, you're lost, and all the good living in the world won't get you saved. You have to turn to Christ Jesus, recognizing that vicarious death is for you. It's for you. All the good living won't get you to heaven, that you need to turn to Jesus. And so when I do, then I come into a relationship, and it's called a covenant. And a covenant looks a whole lot like a marriage. Now, Miss Christy and I have been married for 31 years, and so at least one person in the room is excited about that. And I know her voice, and that wasn't it. So it's disturbing a little bit. But anyway, I didn't say 31 good years, but most of it's been good. But 31 years, and I feel like I've known her my whole life. I think I was seventh grade the first time I ever saw her at the little school that we went to. I remember the first day she walked into that school. She was wearing Rocky Mountain jeans. Holy smoke. And junior high. If you don't know what Rocky Mountain jeans are, then you're missing out. And I thought, I'm in love. I'm in love immediately. And we went together. I don't know if you don't know what that means. You're young because they don't use that word anymore. We went together. Didn't go anywhere. We were too young to go anywhere. She couldn't date until she was 16, but at 16, we started dating. And so we had this relationship, but it was limited relationship. It was a limited relationship because it lacked the main thing, and that was the covenant of marriage. And so we dated for 3 years. We started dating again at 16. We got married 19, and now we've been married 31 years, and if you're doing the math, she actually is that old. And you're thinking, thought you were older, didn't think she was that old. So what happened? Well, one day we stood before a congregation, and the pastor said, do you? And I said, I do. And asked her, do you? And she said, I do. And we came into covenant. Salvation is very much like that. There is a, yes, you can say, well, I've always believed in Jesus. Well, great. I mean, I'm so thankful that you were brought up in a Christian home and were taught, you were taught truth. This was real clear to me when we were several years ago in Nazareth, the hometown of Jesus, and we were living there for about 6 weeks during a sabbatical, and we made a lot of good Arab Christian friends. And they their testimony, the first time I'm like, did I hear what I thought I heard? You know, how that kind of works. And one of them said, well, I've always been a Christian. Well, I just went against everything I've ever said. You've not always been a Christian. But what they were saying was, I was always been a Christian, but it was at the age of whatever that I started following Jesus. I hope you catch this, because the second time I heard it, I'm like, now I know what they're saying. They were raised in a Christian community. They were raised in a Christian home. They followed a Christian culture. But there was a day in which they realized, I have to make a decision. I have to make a commitment and make Jesus my Lord. And it's as if that wedding day happened where they say, Jesus, do you? And he says, I did. Not only do I, but I did. I committed my life. He says, nobody takes my life. I commit it. I gave it. So the father says, Jesus, do you? And he says, I did. And then he says to me, Eric, do you? And I say, I do. I do. I'm committed. I'm committed in this covenant relationship. And when that happens, I don't learn anything new. Maybe I don't feel anything new. Maybe I don't do anything new. By the way, all of those things will happen. All those things will happen because there's a transformation. But even if heaven don't open up and light shine down on me, if I make that commitment and say, no, you're my Lord, there is a transformation that it happens and is continuing to happen. It's called justification and sanctification. Amen. Here's how that works real quick. I talked about body, soul, spirit. I do this all the time, but you got new people all the time. There's also justification, sanctification, glorification. I got saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. I got saved from the penalty of sin. Praise God. I don't fear punishment. I don't fear hell. I don't fear death. I got saved from the penalty of sin. Right here, this seems like a struggle some every day. I'm being saved from the power of sin. Sanctification. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Salvation past, salvation present, salvation future. I got saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin. And praise God, one of these days, I will be saved from the presence of sin. Amen? But this won't happen, and this won't happen until God turns the lights on and I realize I am hopeless without Jesus. And that not any good works, not any good, nothing can save me except him. And I turn to him and receive his salvation. And that's glorious. Amen. There's a passage of scripture that I didn't give our team that puts it on the screen, but I'm just going to read it real quick. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. I hate the word disqualified. I hate the word disqualified. Brother, have you ever had the referee throw the flag? The referee. Have you ever been flagged after a good ride? Okay, so it's one of the great bareback riders of our time. I'm so thankful for him. I used to play at rodeo a little bit. Some of my best rides, I got disqualified. I didn't bark out my horse or I touched my bull. And it's like, man, I done won this thing. Look over there, there's a flag on the ground. How many of us would hate to get to heaven and say, Lord, I finally made, by the way, you won't be saying anything. But we got this built up in our mind that we're going to get to heaven. We're going to receive our reward. And Jesus tells us in the scripture, some will come and say, Lord, I did this and I did that in your name and I did this in your name. And he's going to say, hey, I don't know you. I don't know you. What happened? Well, I thought I was a Christian. I did the Christian things. I was numbered among the Christians, but But something didn't happen. And that is, I was never converted and transformed. Conversion comes with commitment. And with that comes covenant. I'm yours. You're mine. Here's what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says. It says that we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. Not Savior. I want him to be my Savior, and no matter what, I want him to save me. But he says, yeah, that comes with me being your Lord. But no, I want to still run this. I just want, when I get here to death, that you save me. Because I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven. But he said, no, you must, here's how this works. You confess me as Lord. Now, there's two things going on. He must be Lord of our life at number one, but there must be a confession. I can't just always believe. I can't always believe. No, there has to be a time and a point in my life when I say, no, today I covenant with him that I make him my Lord. Amen? So, that scripture says, with the mouth we confess that Jesus is Lord, and with the heart we believe that God raised him from the dead. Remember when I said that the victorious resurrection, that belief was essential to salvation? There it is right there. You have to believe that he was raised from the dead. Now, let's go to the next verse, verse 10. For with the heart one believes. Now, I need you to understand that in our limited English language, that word belief, that does not mean that intellectual assent. It's not what that is. It's the word faith. But we don't use the word faith like that in the English language. It says that here's how it would be. For with the heart one faiths unto righteousness. With the heart one faiths. Now, what is faith? Faith is to rely on, cling to, and trust in. It's more than just to believe that he's God. It is to rely on him as God. To trust in him as God. To cling to him as God. That is the faith unto righteousness. What is righteousness? That's doing right, isn't it? No. It leads to doing right. But no, it's a right position. I'm in right relationship with God. And if I'm in right relationship with God, that happens over here, justification. If I'm in right relationship with God, it will lead to right doing. Right standing leads to right doing. Everybody with me? How do I get there? Through faith, that is, believe in, not just to have mental assent, but to trust in, cling to, rely on Jesus. He's my Savior and my Lord. For with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have never declared Jesus is my Lord, then it's like someone who's just shacking up. They're just shacking up. There's never been a covenant made. The state of Texas might accept that. What are they called? Common law marriage. But God don't. There has to be a covenant made. And because marriage is a picture of salvation. God, the one who created humans and marriage, gets to call the rules. And when it comes to marriage, he says, it's just a picture of something a whole lot greater. That's called salvation. And so let's not mess with the picture, because people are getting an image of salvation by the picture. So let's not mess with that picture. He's very strict on that, by the way. But because it's a picture of salvation. And so the question for you today is, are you a cultural Christian or are you a converted Christian? Has there been a transformation? Are you born again? Nicodemus, John chapter 3, I didn't give y'all this one either. Don't worry about not putting it on the screen. These people have Bibles and they are good with them. So good. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, for no one could do these things that you do unless God were with him. And Jesus says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again. You can't even enter into the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. Then Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb? He's just being silly now. And be born. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you won't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. He says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You got to be born again. Amen. It's not enough to be raised in a Christian home by Christian parents. You didn't just receive Christianity by osmosis. You received Christianity by conversion. You got to be born again. And with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness, or unto salvation. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Are you just coming off the ramp, merging in with the other Christians and say, look, I'm going with them? Well, you might be all the way to the gates of glory, and then God says, why are you with them? Because they're the real deal, you're not. Now, please understand, I'm not calling anybody in here a phony. You weren't trying to deceive anybody, but there is a deceiver, and maybe he's got you deceived. But today has come revelation. And you say, you know what? I'm tired of believing the lie. And today I'm going to confess that Jesus is my Lord. Today's my conversion. Would you stand with me? Father, I pray so fervently right now for those who have merged in with the group of Christians we call church. They've merged in, they attend, they're one of us, except in the fact that maybe there's not been a transformation. They don't hear from you. The Bible doesn't make much sense to them. They don't see prayers answered. They don't experience the power of God. That's the greatest problem with a cultural Christian. They don't experience the power of God. They don't experience you. They don't experience the fellowship of God. Lord, I pray that today you would quicken the spirit through revelation. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Through revelation, someone will come to a realization, I'm not in right standing with God. And if I were to die today, I would go to hell and face eternal punishment with hell, with Satan and his angels. There's no hope except through Jesus. Lord, I pray that some today will realize, oh, it's time to get saved. I'm going to confess Jesus is my Lord. Lord, I pray for a holy boldness to wash over them as Satan tries to convince them not to do it. Convince them that they're okay. Convince them that this preacher don't know what he's talking about. Lord, I pray that you'd stir within them. No, it's a time of urgency. Today's the day of salvation. Just wash over with a holy boldness. Nothing or no one going to hold me back. Move amongst your people today, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.